The following recording is a presentation of the Brean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome you to visit our services anytime here in the Roanoke Park area.
Take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, and you don't have to stand. I only have one verse here. Isaiah 9, verse 6. And we read there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The title of my sermon today is The Prince of Peace. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord and get some wisdom from him. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for, again, another opportunity to preach your word. Pray that you will give me the wisdom that I need in this hour. Pray that you people will be edified. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be that day. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was looking for material for this sermon, I by accident ran into the parables of Winston Churchill. I don't know how many of you know that guy, but he was a very interesting fella. Anyhow, talking about trying to get along in the world without God, Winston Churchill gives this very clever parable. I think it's funny. Very sarcastic. But this is a way of looking at the process of trying to achieve peace in the world without God. It's not possible, but he puts it out like this. So this is the parable. He says, once upon a time, all the animals in the zoo decided they would disarm. And they arranged to hold a conference to decide the matter. The rhinoceros said that the use of teeth in war was horrible and not to be strictly prohibited by general consent. Horns, which were mainly defensive weapons, would have to be tolerated. The buffalo, the deer, and the goat said that they would vote with the rhino, but the lion and the tiger had a different idea. They defended teeth and claws as honorable weapons. But then the bear spoke. He proposed that both teeth and horns should be banned. He said that it would be quite enough if all the animals would be allowed to give each other a good hug when they met. I said that for a moment, nobody could say no to that. The idea sounded so fraternal and it would be a good step in the right direction towards achieving peace. But a little while later, it said that all the animals fell into a perfect panic and everybody scattered. Now, I know that it sounds crazy that a bunch of animals will get together and try to put a plan on how to get along with each other. But have you watched the news lately? Some of the rulers in this world behave like wild animals. They'll step and crush anybody who gets in their way. And so this illustration is not that crazy after all. On the contrary, it demonstrates perfectly the problem that we're facing today with world peace. The problem is that there is no absolute authority. And as long as that condition exists, all you can expect is wars and rumors of wars. And we can learn a lot of things by looking into the scriptures about the process of peace. So I'll begin my point. Point number one is the useless efforts of man. I was blessed that I was born in the time that when I was born and the place where I was born, because I seen a lot of evil. And when people talk about evil, some people don't understand what evil looks like. But I have seen what takes place when people are climbing the ladder of success and they want to gain power and they don't care what they have to do to get it. So I've seen some plenty of killings in my life. And I know that a lot of time, energy, money, and efforts are wasted every day around the world trying to appease people who want nothing to do with world peace. There are some rulers in this world that only understand the language of violence. And for these people, trying to develop a plan for peace is like spitting in the wind. There's nothing you can do. So you speak to these people in a language that they can understand. That is, you keep whacking them over the head and beat them into subjection, into submission, because they don't understand any other way. Any politician who has the nerve to promote world peace has failed to do his homework. In 6,000 years of human history, this world has only enjoyed about 300 years of peace. World peace will not come until the Prince of Peace comes. And when he comes, the entire world will enjoy peace. But until then, you can just ignore the politicians. The politicians manage to turn everything into a crisis. I don't know if you've ever been in a crisis, but to me, a crisis is something that requires immediate attention, right there and then. So for these people, promoting world peace is nothing more than an opportunity to make money. When Isaiah was talking to the people of his time, he told them that they will never have peace because they were wicked. We read in Isaiah 57:21, "There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked." Isaiah 57:20 reads, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when he cannot rest, whose water cast up mire and dirt." The wicked wakes up in the morning and goes to bed at night thinking about how he's going to do evil. They are like the troubled sea. They never rest. They're constantly foaming, casting mire and dirt, polluting everything they put their hands on, and they never have peace. I'd like you to take your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel was a very negative preacher. And these verses, he's got a play on words, so you got to put your thinking cap to get the message. But Ezekiel 13, verse 10 reads, Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daubed it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There should be an overwhelming shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rent it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing with wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will even rent it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there should be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Verse 14. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed it with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall. And ye shall be consumed with in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus I will accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it to it. The prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, says the Lord God. The untempered mortar that Ezekiel is speaking of here is a picture of the ideas and philosophies of man. These are the people that promote peace, and they fail to understand that if God is not in it, whatever they're doing is going to collapse. You know, this is not hard to figure it out. Every 4 years, we have to endure the process of the election. Boy, that's painful. At the top of the agenda is the economy and world peace. And they talk with a straight face, big smile, lying right there in front of you, because they know that they are incapable of delivering on whatever it is that they're promising. Like I said, I have seen this, and to me, any man or woman who spends millions of dollars to get a job that only pays a few hundred thousand dollars is a crook. All you have to do is look at the economy, inflation. You know, a little burger at McDonald's costs about $7 nowadays. It's insane. How about world peace? Are we making friends around the world? Are we respected as a great nation? They're laughing at us. How about the Islamic community? Are they looking out for the best interest of the Jewish community? How about the dictators of the world? Are these people giving up their weapons and releasing the people that they oppress? Of course not. You know, if a brave man will step up to a podium and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a royal mess, and we don't know how to fix it. We need to cry out to God for wisdom and bring back the Bible into every area of our lives. We implore to every person across our land to get on your knees and pray to God Almighty, because we are in trouble." But if a man did that, he would be considered crazy and could never be elected. Because our society has gotten used to believing lies, and when the truth is given out, nobody can tell the difference. The line that separates the truth from a lie has been blurred, and you are more likely to convince people to believe a lie than to have them believe the truth. I did some homework to put this thing together, and I want to give you some numbers so you can have an idea where we're at. According to the Canadian Army Journal, a former president of the Norwegian Academy of Science, with the help of historians from England, Egypt, Germany, and India, came up with some fantastic figures and findings. Now, this is an old study, and these figures are much higher now, but they give you an idea where we're at when we're dealing with world peace. Since 3600 BC, the world has only known about 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been 14,531 wars, large and small, in which 364 million people have lost their lives. The value of this destruction could pay for a golden belt that would go around the world 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. Since 650 BC, there have been 16,656 arm races. Out of 16,656, only 16 have not ended in war. The remainder have ended in the collapse of the economy of all these countries concerned. From 1500 BC to the present day, more than 10,000 treaties of peace have been signed and are to remain in force forever. But the average time they remain in force was 2 years. What's the problem? Why do we have so many wars? The Bible has the answer, and it tells you why. Money, power, greed are the three main components of every war. 1 Timothy 6:10 reads, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Now, the proper context of 1 Timothy 6:10 is false teachers, false preachers, false prophets. That's the context. But it is true that the love of money is the main source of every evil that takes place around the world in most cases. Number one, greed and hunger for money and power is the result of wars. In any war, the only people who benefit from going into a war is those who are in the business of manufacturing war machines, weapons, bullets, and combat equipment. Those are the ones who benefit from it. And in any war, we always sacrifice the best and the brightest. You don't see old people going into war. It's always the youngest one, the brightest ones. Our young men and women who volunteer to put their lives on the line so we can enjoy a small segment of peace. These people deserve to be called heroes, along with their families who have to endure the sacrifice. Number two, punishment for sin. War is punishment for sin here, and hell is punishment for sin hereafter. Judges 5 and verse 8 reads, "They chose new gods, then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel?" No, not at that time. There was nothing left. Wicked rulers will always appoint wicked people to serve in positions of power. And in a way, it is fair to say that elections do have consequences. But this goes much farther than that, because this concerned your eternal soul. Peace comes as a result of embracing righteousness. And righteousness can only be attained by acknowledging that only Jesus Christ is capable of bringing peace on a personal level, on a local level, on a national level, and on a worldwide level. Outside from Christ is not possible. Psalm 37 and verse 4 reads, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Psalm 37 verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Psalm 37 and verse 37, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Proverbs 16 and verse 7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Like I said, there are rulers in this world who will never behave unless they know that there is someone somewhere stronger than they are and will beat them into submission, because they won't do it any other way. So they don't behave because they want to. They behave because they have to. But in the millennial kingdom, nobody will protest about anything, and whoever gets out of hand will get hit on the head with a steel pipe on the spot. Jesus Christ is going to be ruling this world. You can say that he will be the ultimate dictator. Point number two, the desperate need for the Lord's intervention. Russia now has enough satellites in space carrying multiple weapons of mass destruction that can destroy this world many times over in a few minutes. The United States has submarines in every ocean around the world with enough power to destroy the world many times over. They said that one submarine can unleash in a few minutes more explosive force than all the bombs and ammunition that was exploded in all the nations in the 6 years of war, of World War II. That's a lot of power. The president of the United States, when he travels, he has two guys who follow him everywhere he goes. And these guys carry two suitcases. And those suitcases are the codes to every weapon of mass destruction that we have around the world. We need to pray for that guy. You know, if he goes nuts, we're in trouble. If God doesn't intervene, it is only a matter of time before man will destroy himself. And for this, there are several things that we need to look into, because Jesus said that there are many things that will precede before he intervenes. And this is one of those things that you get into when you stop to consider the condition of the world in the last days. And I do believe that we are in the last days. How many days? I don't know, but we're way on our way. We take, for example, Matthew 24. Context, we always emphasize context. Matthew 24, the events that are described in this chapter don't apply to you and me. These events will take place in the tribulation. So if you are saved, born again Christian, you won't live to see this. But what we're looking at is a preview of things to come. You know, just like when you go to the movies, they always give you a preview of what's coming up. And what we're looking at right now is a preview of things to come. When the disciples came to Jesus asking for the sign of his coming, he began by telling them to look for deceivers. That's liars, false preachers. So number one, many false Christ, Matthew 24, verse 5. In the last 100 years, there have been over 100, I'm sorry, in the last 50 years, there have been over 100 people who claim that they are Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Number two, increasing wars. Matthew 24, 6. Emil Ludwig, born in Breslau, Kingdom, Germany, in January 25, 1881, and died in September 17, 1948, in Switzerland. He was a historian of wars and author of many books. He called the times in which we're living in right now annihilating statistics. So I'll give you some numbers. He presents the following shocking summary of World War I, which ran from 1914 to 1918. Now, keep in mind that this is before the atomic bomb, before the modern airplane, and before the sophisticated military equipment that we now have. But he said that 10 million men were killed. A parade of these dead men marching 10 men side by side could go from sunrise to sunset. To this number, you need to add 13 million missing. There were also 10 million refugees and 6 million children who had lost their fathers. The daily loss of human life amounted to 16,585. The cost of the war came to a total of $3,380,000,000. In other words, $20,000 for every hour since the birth of Jesus Christ until the end of the war. The cost of the war itself was $9 million an hour to keep it going. In those 4 years, Europe lost all their savings they had accumulated in over 100 years. But by far, the most costly war in terms of human life was World War II, from 1939 to 1945, in which the total number of fatalities, including armed forces and civilians of all countries, is estimated to have been 54,800,000. The USSR, Russia, had 25 million fatalities. The Chinese had 7,800,000 civilians killed. And the country which suffered the most was Poland, with 6,028,000 killed, or 22.2% of her population of, at that time, was 27,700,000. This doesn't include traffic accidents, construction accidents, farming accidents, sickness, diseases, and more. Number three, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Matthew 24, 7. In the 9th century, there was one major earthquake. In the 11th century, there were two. In the 13th century, there were three. In the 16th century, there were two. In the 17th century, there were two. And in the 18th century, there were five, including the Lisbon earthquake that took place on November 1st of 1755, which killed 60,000 people in one shot. In the 19th century, there were nine major earthquakes. So far in the 20th century, there have been over 40, including the Peking quake in China in 1679, which killed 65,000 people. From the World Almanac comes another set of facts. There were only six earthquakes of strength between 1800 and 1896. But in each decade, from 1897 until 1947, there were either two or three in the decades from 1947 to 1956. There were seven from 1957 to 1966, and there were 17 immediately thereafter. Time magazine, the front cover of September 1st, 1975, has a split earth on the front cover with a reading across the page that says, "Forecast earthquake." Since that day to the end of 1976, there have been 24 significant earthquakes in China, Guatemala, Italy, Indonesia, Soviet Union, Central Asia, and many other places. The year of 1976 experienced at least 50 significant earthquakes, intensity 6.5, and 18 major quakes, 7.1 or more. It is estimated that in these minor shakes, 695,000 people have lost their lives. And the highest disaster in modern history took place in Germany. I think you know that one. It was Hitler's aim to not only to exterminate all the Jews in Germany, but to kill all Jews in Europe. His reign of terror, in which 5 to 6 million Jews were killed, is one of the darkest in the pages of history. And when Hitler was done with them, 6 out of every 10 Jews in Europe were dead. Can we conclude that men will enjoy peace? Never. There's nothing more dangerous in this world than sinful man. Point number three, the deity of Jesus Christ. After viewing the desperate condition of the world today, we are reminded that only a holy, all-powerful God can rectify the condition we find ourselves in. The United Nations has a King James inscription on their building in New York City. But these people are a bunch of crooks. They're dishonest. Because they only quote a portion of Isaiah 2, verse 4. And that reading reads like this: "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Just like the devil, they misquote the word of God. Isaiah 2 verse 4 reads, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." They don't like the idea that Jesus Christ is going to judge and rule the nations with a rod of iron. And he will rebuke many people. So they left the reason why nations won't lift a sword anymore. This is my opinion, but I think the United Nations is probably run by the Roman Catholic Church. They like Jesus as a baby or hanging on a cross, dead. They don't like him as a ruling king. We, the Christians, look forward to the promises of Isaiah 2, verse 4. "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. A day is coming when one Jew is going to rule this world, and he's going to do it perfectly. And whoever refuses to submit will get it on the spot. I am looking forward to that day. Peace on earth is not the only thing we're going to enjoy in the millennial kingdom. We're going to have the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And the earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk 2 and verse 14 says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That day will not come until there is one final authority. The final authority is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes from God. Psalm 29 verse 11 reads, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints." Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring and enforce a lasting peace. Revelation 19, verses 15 and 16. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That'll be the day. There is no real peace available in this age, not even for the Christians. Because according to the world system, we are nothing more than a pain in the neck. And I like that. I really do. That's a good thing. It is the best thing for you to do if you are a Christian. Be vocal. Don't be afraid. The only peace available right now is a spiritual one. This is the peace that only a born-again individual can experience and understand. And more than that, no one can take it away because it's founded in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep you hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Some of you know who is J. Vernon McGee. He's long gone. He's dead now, but I like him. He tells a story of the 1906 earthquake. He said that shortly after the disaster, an old black woman was heard standing on a pile of rubble. She was singing Amazing Grace to the top of her lungs. And a very well-dressed man, covered in dust, came up to her and said, "Lady, how can you sing in a time like this?" And she responded, "The God that I love is powerful and capable of shaking this little world, and no one can resist him. He is my Savior. In him I am safe and secure. And because of that, I can sing even in a time like this." I'm sure the businessman thought that she was out of her skull. But when you know the Lord, you can have perfect peace. Even in a chaotic time, in a chaotic environment, or even in the middle of a disaster. Colossians 3:15 reads, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." You know, I have not seen people from different religious systems be able to get along with each other. I grew up with that. God. If there was somebody going to hell, it was me. I was flying, trying to get there. And I have never been in places where everybody gets along regardless of who they are and where they're from. Christianity is the only religion that embraces anybody from any walks of life, regardless of the skin color or the language that you speak. It is impossible to get along with people who don't know God. You just cannot do it. But it is possible to have peace and be able to get along with anybody from any nation under heaven. But that is only possible if you have been born again, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we learn to put aside our differences and we understand what God requires of us, only then we're going to be able to get along with each other and have perfect peace. When we get to that point, we'll be able to enjoy peace regardless of the circumstances around us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to deliver your word. Pray, Lord, for strength. Pray, Lord, for your people, that they will see the need to come to you and be faithful and worship, Lord. Pray for our pastor, looking forward to having him back next Sunday, and we'll continue to preach your word. Bless us, Lord, as we enjoy this meal that has been prepared. Bless the ladies that will be working in the kitchen for us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Roner Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Berean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Roner Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us online at www.bebaptist.org.